Matthew chapter 2. You don't have to turn there, but keep your Bible in John chapter 4. But you'll notice if I read this verse, you've heard it before, Matthew chapter 2, and they fell down and worshipped him, speaking of the wise men. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gifts have been about Christmas. But you'll notice that first Christmas, they gave Jesus gifts. We've changed it all around now where we give each other gifts. We don't give Jesus gift. And so I got to thinking about this word gift. And then I read in two places the gift of God. And I got to thinking, what is the gift of God? And then I got to thinking, backed up a little bit, and says, what's the greatest gift? What's the greatest gift ever given? And I went back to my childhood, and I remember my greatest gift. How many of you can remember your favorite gift, your greatest gift you ever got? How many of you can remember? Let me see your hand. Okay. I can remember mine. I got one every year. Yep. It was a Duke football. I started getting them about probably 12, and I got them through probably, I don't know. I'm not even going to tell you how old I was when I got my last one. But I loved footballs, and I'd get a brand new one. It was a professional football, the ones they used in the NFL, so it wouldn't wear out. And I'd usually wear it out that year, and I'd look for another one. And so I could get every kind of gift there was, but I was looking for that oblong box. That was the gift I was looking for. Now, it was expensive because it was $50. And that was 50 years ago, it was $50. So you think about it now, that was a real sacrifice for my parents to buy that for me. But I remember looking at different gifts and my mother would try to save money and give me underwear and give me socks and I'd get gloves and, I'd get an umbrella, I'd get a flashlight and then all of a sudden at the very end, she'd pull out that rectangular box. It was like, wow! Like you put a bicycle underneath the tree. Wow! Where's that box? Well, I began to think about the greatest gift ever given. And why it would be the greatest. And I realized in this passage, John chapter 4, notice, then saith he unto the woman of Samaria, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? In other words, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, I'm a half Jew, and you don't have anything to do with me. Why would you have anything to do with me? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God. I want you to know today, most people don't know about the gift of God. I want you to know this was the greatest gift ever given. It is the greatest gift ever given for five reasons. I want you to notice, if you have your Bible, keep your finger there, but turn to Romans chapter 6, if you would. Romans chapter 6. And notice with me, if you would, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but here it is. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, the number one reason that it's the greatest gift ever given is because of who gave it. Remember, Jesus looked at the woman of the well and the Samaritan woman and said, if thou knewest who it is that's going to give you this gift, if you knew who it was talking to you, do you realize it is the one that put the stars in his place, that calls you personally by your name, that made you, he's got a gift for you. The person that gives it makes it the greatest gift. I have a letter framed from the president at the time when Susan lost her leg. somebody worked at the White House and had just wrote a note and said, I want you to know I'm praying for you. And it's framed in the office. I said, wow. We just received a lot of letters. But who gave it made that one special. Now, I've got other letters and saved them. I didn't frame them because the president's never sent a letter like that to me or to Susan. But it was very special. Can you imagine the God of heaven saying, Don, I got a gift for you. Sam, I got a gift for you. That would make it the greatest gift you've ever received because of who gave it. I mean, he could say, I was going to give you a gift of the Rocky Mountains. Or I was going to give you the gift of Mount Everest. Or I was going to give you a gift of all the tigers in the world. I was going to give you a gift. But I got you the greatest gift you can ever have. Now, he could have given us anything. But this gift, the gift of God, mentioned in this passage, these two passages, is the greatest gift ever given. Number one, because of the person who gave it. You have to understand that the gift of God is special and it's priceless because the God of heaven that doesn't need us, that doesn't have to have us, wants to give you a gift. He has no limitation on finances. He has no limitation on anything when he chooses to give a gift. So this gift is the greatest gift because of who gave it? The person. But the second thing is the greatest gift because of the purpose of the gift. If you have your Bible, turn if you would to Romans, if you would. Notice Romans chapter 5. Notice this, Romans chapter 5. Notice, if you would, in verse 8. The reason for the gift, or the purpose of the gift. But God commended or gave his love to us. But God commendeth his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood. Here it is. We shall be saved from wrath through him. You know what this gift is? It's a ticket out of hell. It spares you from ever having to go to hell and pay for your own sin. It is the gift of eternal life. Look over if you would. Now notice, flip over if you would in chapter 6. We just read it a few minutes ago. For the wages of sin is death. And so he said, I don't want you to have to pay that wage. I don't have to pay you off with a place called hell. So I'm going to give you the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So he says, I've got a gift for you and it saves you from all the wrath that I have to give to people that can't pay for their own sin or don't. They've got to go to hell and pay for their own sin. But if you choose to accept my gift, you miss all the wrath that I'm going to pour on the people in hell. It spares you from my wrath. That makes it the greatest gift in all the world. For everybody in this room. It's a ticket out of hell. But it's also, notice this, it's a ticket to heaven with him forever. Notice if you would in verse 23. But the gift of God is eternal life. Eternal life is being able to live with him in heaven for all eternity. It's being able to have the gates of pearl as you walk through them. It's being able to give to have a home in heaven. Do you understand that this gift allows you to have eternal life, that you'll never die again? Sure, our physical bodies have to die, but our spirit never dies. And the Lord says, I've got a gift for you. And keep in mind, the eternal spirit dies and goes to hell. That's eternal. But what he's saying is eternal life is the equivalent of eternal life with him in heaven. That makes it the greatest gift in all the world. We live 60, 70, 80 years and die 90 years, 100 years. And we died. The Lord says, I've got a place called heaven for you, but you got to receive this gift I'm giving to you. And when you and I look at it, this is the greatest gift in all the world. The gift of God. And I noticed that it's great because, number one, it's a gift of love. Turn back to Romans chapter 5 again. Verse 8. But God commendeth his love. Gave his love to us. While we yet sinners, Christ died for us. So, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The gift. He wants you to understand that he loves you. Now, it's one thing to get a gift because, you have to get it. Now, a lot of office parties, you pull a name and you have to give them a gift. How many ever had to do that? How many ever have to do that? Okay. So you don't necessarily love the person. How many have you ever gotten a number or a name of somebody that you had to give a gift to and you didn't even, they were not maybe your favorite person? Doesn't mean you don't like them. It just means maybe there's something there that, they're hard to work with or they're difficult for this or that. Do you understand? That's us. We're hard to work with. We're difficult. We're sinners. We do everything wrong. We've fallen short of the grace of God. And he says, but I still love you. So this gift is the greatest gift in all the world because it's given because he loves us and we don't deserve it. It's the greatest gift ever given. But not just that. Look at one other thing that it does that makes it the purpose of this gift. Look in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. You know what it does? This gift, when you receive it, brings you close to God, makes you buddies. If I could say it that way. It restores the fellowship back to God. Adam and Eve were walking in the Garden of Eden. They were talking fellowship with the Lord. And they disobeyed and ate of the tree, told them not to. And they went and got fig leaves and sewed them together, put them on their bodies. And Jesus, as he normally did, walked in the cool of the evening. He said, Adam, where art thou? Adam said, we've hid ourselves because we're naked. And the Lord said, what? You disobeyed? Yes. And he took Adam and Eve and he walked them out of the garden and he put an angel there with a sword and said, you can never come back into this garden. You disobeyed me. And so from then on, our bodies, we suffered with pain and difficulty and had to labor and sweat of our brow, work the earth to live. And so from then on, there's something between us and God. And this gift removes that. It allows you and I to walk right into the presence of God and say, Lord, could I talk to you for a minute? And he says, absolutely. Do you realize it gives you and I the privilege of walking into the very presence of God anytime we have a need? It's the greatest gift in all the world because of its purpose. It was the purpose it's given to you is to restore us to full fellowship with the God that loves us and made us. You need this gift. Everybody in this room needs this gift. Everybody that you see outside this room needs this gift. It's the greatest gift ever given. Because of number one, the purpose, the person that gives it. Because it's God's gift. And number two, because of the purpose of the gift. Because it causes you to avoid hell. It gives you a home in heaven. It's because God loves you. And it restores the sweetness of fellowship that we lost in the Garden of Eden. And notice, then it's the greatest gift, obviously, because of the price of the gift. I mean, I just went down a quick list. He gave up heaven for 33 years. And he didn't just give it up. He gave it up to dwell as a pauper. To live in a to be born in a manger. He gave up ruling the universe to serve. Wow, what a price. But then I started going down the list. He decided that he had a perfect body. No pain, a perfect body. Perfect in every way. And he gave that up to take on a human body that feels pain, that pulls muscles, that sleeps wrong, that hurts, that the eyes don't always work, that you get something in your eye. Sunday morning a week ago, I got up. My right eye was just bloodshot. And apparently I'd gotten something in the eye. I don't know how. But I could not get it out. I mean, I got it and put in my, you know, I got it in the shower and tried to wash it out, put it in a bowl of water and tried to wash it out, move it around. I mean, I tried everything until finally I got smart and I said, well, I'm a preacher. Why don't I just pray about it? I said, Lord, could you take this out of my eye? And within 15 minutes, it was gone. I don't have any idea where it was. But I know this. I said, Lord, I may have to go to the doctor to get rid of this. My eyes all red. I said, Lord, this would be distracting for people. As I preach this morning, Lord, could you please remove it? And even the redness was gone by the time church started. You see, he took upon a frail body like that. I'm certain Jesus had to get things out of his eyes. I'm certain as a carpenter, anybody here ever used a hammer? How many of you used a hammer? Raise it up. Keep your hand up. Keep it up. How many of you ever hit yourself accidentally with that hammer, some form or fashion? Keep it up. Boy, are we dummies or what? The whole church has hit yourself. I remember one time I was trying to hammer a nail this way and hit myself right between the eyes. I said, and you know, I looked at it, I said, what was I thinking? That's a human body. How'd you knock yourself out, Pastor? Well, I hit myself with a hammer in the head. How did you do that? That's the human body. Jesus took on a human body that feels pain, that hurts for you, and gave up his perfect body. I just, what a price. And if that was enough, that would have been sufficient. But he was questioned and criticized by the religious leaders. Matthew 21:23. He was betrayed by his best friends. Matthew 26:48. He was forsaken by his best friends. Not just, he was betrayed by one of his inner circle, but then he was forsaken by all the rest of them. Do you realize he worked with them for 3 years daily and they left him? The God of heaven? And they knew he was the God of heaven. Who would do that? Do we do that? This one. You have your Bible, Matthew 26. Do you realize this is a part of the price? Look in verse 66. What think ye? What do you think about this guy that raised the dead, healed the sick, went from village to village, healed everybody in it, taught people on the mountainside and fed 5,000 men, fed 4,000 the next day? The next week, talk to the winds and the sea and stop the storms. What do you think about this guy? They answered, he's guilty of death. How awful and blind. In verse 67, notice, then they did spit in his face. The price of this gift, that he had to take spitting in the face. Then it says they buffeted him. They punched him in the face. He was beaten up. Then he was traded for a murderer. that he was scourged. You know, we see that one little word, scourge, and we have no clue what that means. You think of the word scourged, and we don't think of a stick about this long and leather tongs put in it, leather straps put in it, and little pieces of pottery and stone and rot and glass woven in the end of those, so that when you hit somebody with it, it immediately brought blood. And then you learn to jerk it so that it not just brought blood, it began to strip the flesh off. And the Romans are so good at it, they could kill a guy by allowing his insides to fall out because they just stripped him of all his flesh. They scourged him. It's the greatest gift because it was the greatest price. Now, anybody that's ever gotten beaten like this couldn't do this. Father, would you send Michael to set me free? It's the greatest gift because he took it willingly to pay the price for the gift. He didn't have to. Look, if you have your Bible, turn with you to Matthew 26. Just flip a page back or two. And notice with me, if you will, in verse 39 and 42. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed. Do you understand Jesus didn't like to suffer? He was in a human body. He didn't want to hurt. But he loved us. He's conflicted. He can't give us the gift unless he suffers. He can't give us the gift unless he takes the spitting in the face and the punching and the scourging. He can't give us the gift. But all the time, he has available to him the angels of heaven. Notice in verse 39, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed and said, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Let this beating pass from me. Let this mistreatment pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Lord, I'm willing to pay the price. Look at verse 42. And he went again the second time and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done." Lord, unless I drink the cup of scourging, unless I drink the cup of spitting in the face, Lord, it's embarrassing to me because you're my Father and you're the God of heaven and I'm your son, and it's a disgrace to have people spit in my face. But Lord, I'll do it. I'll take it if it pays for the gift. In verse 44, and he left them, went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Three times he told his Father, if there's any other way, and if not, I'll pay the price. And they scourged him. And if you'll notice, after the scourging, they had to get someone else to carry his cross because he had lost so much blood he couldn't carry it. So when you think about Christmas time and you see all the gifts underneath the tree, you remember the greatest gift was for you. The price that he paid was for everybody in this room. There's nobody in this room that he didn't pay that price for. He paid it for you, Michaela. He paid it for you, Clint. He paid it for you, Josiah. He paid it for everyone in this room. He took the spitting for you. So it makes it the greatest gift in all the world, because all he had to do is say, "Michael," destroyed the world, set him free. And we'd have suffered the wrath of God in hell for all eternity. But he loved us too much. That's what makes this the greatest gift in all the world. Then, of course, he was mocked and crowned with thorns. When I was in South Africa on a trip one time, I saw a tree with thorns on it as long as my finger. I said, wow. Come to find out, that's the same kind of tree that they took those thorns and wove it around. So those thorns were like that. They put that crown of thorns on his head, and then the Roman soldiers took the reed, took a stick about this long, sort of like a dowel rod, you might say, and began to tap it on his head and beat that into his head. Can you imagine the pain and agony that would have been? And we just look at it very simply and don't really notice Matthew 27. Notice Matthew 27, verse 30. We just see it and sort of read over it and don't think much about it. Look with me if you would. Take note in chapter 27 of Matthew, verse 30. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. Wow. They drove the thorns into his head. And the reason why he had a crown of thorns, do you understand? None of the other criminals hanging on left and right had this. You know why? They were mocking him because he said he was a king. He's the King of Kings. And they said, oh, you are? Well, we'll crown you King of Kings. And they put that crown of thorns and beat it into his head. I cannot imagine the feeling of the angels of heaven as they were perched on the gates of heaven and the walls of heaven, looking at the Father like, are you going to let this go on? Are you not going to stop this? This is wrong. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This is the greatest gift in all the world because of the price. And then, do you understand? It would have been the greatest gift if the price would have stopped right here. The spitting and the crowns and the mockery and the scourging. But then, notice if you would, verse 35 of Matthew 27. And they crucified him. So after all of that, then they hung him on the tree and nailed him to it. Can't even imagine. And the torture of the crucifixion was so great that the Romans were noted for it. It was invented earlier, but they took it up and they used it for hundreds of years. And it was a slow death. It was meant to be a lesson to everybody that walked by. You're lifted up high. Everybody can see you. You're struggling to breathe. You have to push up on the one nail your feet are nailed through and pull up on the nails in your hands. And you have to pull up like this and to get a breath and you let back down. And every breath is an absolute agony to get. And so that was the price of this gift. And then when he died, the Bible says he yielded up the ghost. He said, Lord, I give you my spirit. It's the greatest gift because he willingly paid it. When you and I go buy gifts, I know there are some times whenever we have to buy a gift out of obligation. We do it. We don't ever tell anybody that. But this was not a gift of obligation in any way, shape, or form. This was a gift of love. And it's inexplicable to me. It's one of the reasons that I became a pastor because I said, Lord, I cannot think of any greater story in all the world to tell than the one that you paid for me. It's the greatest gift in all the world because of the price. But it's also the greatest gift because not only of the person who gave it, the purpose that was given, and the price that was paid for it, but because of the proposal that comes with it. Jesus said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall have the gift. All you gotta do is ask for it. It's already paid for. He said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart, thou shalt be saved. It's a free gift. It costs you nothing. One of the great joys is to be able to go to Uganda, Africa, or Papua New Guinea, or some out of the way place that people never go to, and look at somebody that's got no shoes on and no clothes on hardly, and you look at them and say, Jesus loves you, and all you've got to do is ask him, tell him you're sorry for your sin, confess your sin, and he'll forgive you right here, right now. It's the proposal that he offers. He knew there were going to be people that didn't have a nickel in their hand. He knew there were going to be people that were dying and couldn't do a thing. They couldn't go to church and they couldn't get baptized and they couldn't read their Bible. He knew there were going to be people that couldn't see, but they were going to be desperate enough to have this greatest gift of God that they would, what can I do? And the Lord says, I don't want you to do anything. Just receive it. It's the proposal that goes with it. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. That's the reason I think Calvinism is a fiendish thing from the old devil. Because it causes some people to think, I can't be saved. When the Lord Jesus said, he died for the whole world. And he loves you. And I've never met somebody that looked at it and said, well, Brother Don, this Don here, you can be saved. But this Don here, you can't be. I'm sorry. I've never seen a Don that I looked at and I couldn't tell them the greatest gift in all the world is for you. What a joy. Because of the proposal. It's free. Anybody can have it. But I want you to notice this. If you have your Bible for the last reason it's the greatest gift, look, if you would, in Hebrews. Chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. It's the greatest gift because the person who gave it, because the purpose that was given, because of the price that was paid for it, because of the proposal that makes it so easy to acquire, and for the privileges it gives to you. Notice, if you would, in verse 14, are they not, this is Hebrews 1:14. We're going to look at chapter 2 and verse 1, but notice to set the stage of who it's talking about. Notice in verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be, here it is, the heirs of salvation? It's given for all of those who've been saved that have received the gift. Notice verse 1, therefore, what are the privileges? We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. When you come to church, one of the privileges and one of the responsibilities that we have is to listen. It's to learn. This gift, it's the greatest gift in all the world because it allows you to understand spiritual things. He gives you the Holy Spirit at the same time and illuminates our minds and eye. And that way we can read God's word as a difference that knowing the author makes. I have a friend in Alaska, pastor. He wrote a story, wrote a book. It's a fictitious book, but it's based on true events. He was in a plane crash, hunted by a grizzly. This. And so he wrote this story as a salvation story and put it in a book. It's gone all over and hundreds have been saved. But he tells the story of a lot of his events and then embellishes some of them and then tells something else. And he calls it a fictional story. But it's based upon his life. And at the very end, he tells the story of someone that trusts Christ as Savior. And I got that book and I started reading. I'd have probably never read the book because I don't read fiction. I mean, there's so much stuff to read that's true, that's important, that's good. Why would I read a fictional story? Something somebody made up. So I don't read that. I mean, I don't read fiction. But this one was fiction, and he sent it to me. He said, Dave, I want to send you the book. I want you to read it and tell me what you think. And I couldn't stop reading. I just kept flipping the pages, kept reading it. You know why? Because I knew the author. And this gift, when you receive it, now you know the author. Personally. And the Holy Spirit opens your eyes, and as you begin to study God's Word, and notice He says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed. One of the privileges we have is we've got to really pay attention now. We can pay attention now. What a great joy. Now, you know, we don't expect how many 3-year-olds are in this building right now? How many 3-year-olds are in here? None. Well, you know why? Because we know it's a little young for them to pay attention for 45 minutes or an hour and sit in one spot. Well, it's the same way if you don't spiritually have spiritual eyes. And the Holy Spirit, when you get saved, gives you spiritual eyes so that you can go from being like a 3-year-old to a 30-year-old just that quick. You can now understand things you couldn't understand before. So one of the privileges, now I can pay attention. Now I can listen. And notice what he says. He said, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now, this word slip is a Greek word for to water just flows by. It's something that you make no effort to try to hang on to. So you and I have this privilege of hanging on to truths of God's Word. And He says, don't miss that. Don't miss that. It's a part of the gift. And then you'll notice one of the greatest privileges we have is this. Notice in verse number 3, and how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? He's not talking about being saved here. He's talking about if we neglect to share this salvation with other people. This greatest gift comes with a privilege. And the privilege is to share it with other people. That's the great privilege. It's the privilege of being able to say to people, I want to tell you about this. I want to give you a gift. You want to give me a gift? You don't even know me. I know, but it's the greatest gift in the world. You just got to listen. I was in Memphis. I was a pastor and I was in my office. And as I was listening, reading a book, doing something, all of a sudden, the secretary said, hey, there's a man out here who would like to talk to you. I said, you know what it's about? He said, yeah, he's got a air conditioner. He's trying to sell an air conditioner. I said, okay, I'll talk to him. So I go outside and say, elderly man, he's got an old air conditioner. He's fixed it up. And he said, would you like to buy this air conditioner? And I looked at it and I said, you know, I don't really have a need for it. Our church had several houses. And then I said, well, you know what? Maybe that house over there could take it. Yeah, why don't you go over and put it in that house over there? So we did. I said, wait a minute. Let me see. How much do you want for this? He gave me a price. I said, I'd like to give you a bigger gift than that air conditioner. Yeah? Could I tell you about it? Yeah. Would you sit down? Sure. So I sat down. I began to share the story of the greatest gift in all the world. And I got down to the proposal. I said, let me tell you the best part about this gift. You can just talk to the Lord right here. Tell Him you're sorry for your sin, are you? Oh, yeah. I treated my wife terrible. I'm pretty close to an alcoholic. Would you like to tell Him you're sorry? Ask Him to forgive you? Yeah, I would. Bowed his head, prayed and asked the Lord to save him. Went home rejoicing, went to his wife. And I went by and I don't know, can't remember, it was 45 years ago. But I remember hearing his wife come up to me and say, my husband is different. I want to say thank you. He's not the same. He doesn't drink anymore. He's good to me. Thank you. One of the privileges of eternal life is to share the greatest gift ever given with anybody that sells you an air conditioner. With anybody that sells cookies. With anybody that sells light bulbs. With anybody that sells mattresses. With anybody that sells knives, encyclopedias. With anybody that... I remember one time I was 16 years old. And I went in and got gas. And there was a guy behind the glass. He was trying to keep himself safe. And I walked up to the guy and said, "Hey, could I come in and tell you something? I think you'd really like to hear it." "What?" "I'd like to tell you how much the Lord loves you." "Okay." Opened up the door, went in, got a chance to tell him about Christ. He prayed and received Christ as Savior. And I walked out of there rejoicing. He said, "Hey, thanks for coming." Do you understand it's Christmas? You and I have the privilege of telling people and giving to people the greatest gift that's ever been given. Today, do you have the greatest gift? Question number one. Do you have it in your heart? Do you know you have it? When I get a gift, I see a gift underneath my tree, I know it's there. And I know it's got my name on it. I know it's for me. Well, the Lord Jesus says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." You can have it and know it. That gift can be yours and your soul for all eternity. But the second question is, are you sharing the gift with somebody else? You can do it with family. Now, we have to be careful with it. I didn't knock on that window of the guy in the gas station and say, "Hey, buddy, let me in. If you don't, I'm going to break this door down. I got something you've got to have." And I didn't tell the air conditioning guy that. But I do know if it's done the right way with somebody that cares about you, like Jesus did to this woman in John chapter 4 when he says, "If you knew the person that's going to give you the gift, you'd ask for him living waters." Today, you and I aren't Jesus. But you know what? Let me tell you the greatest privilege. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the what? The sons and daughters of God." You know what the greatest privilege is? You're adopted into his family. What a privilege. Do you understand today that if you've received him as Savior, you're his child? Who does that? Who wants to give you a gift and say, "Will you be my son? Will you be my daughter?" Who does that? Wow. The privileges are out of this world. Let's share it. That's where you said this passage. How shall we escape the eye of God if we neglect so great a salvation? We don't tell anybody else about it. It's Christmas. Let's share the gospel. Let's give out the greatest gift ever given. Let's bow our heads forward in prayer this morning. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of Invitation Hymn. Maybe you're here today and you say, "Pastor, I've never trusted Christ as Savior." Do you realize there's no one in this room that's going to heaven that didn't have to come to Jesus just like you will and say, "Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and save me." Can you take yourself back to that place or to that time? Maybe you don't remember the date. That's not necessary. But you remember being 3 years old or 5 years old or 7 years old. You remember sitting in your mother's lap and you trusted Christ as Savior. If you don't have the comfort that you know you're on your way to heaven, would you receive his gift this morning? It's the greatest proposal in all the world. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Maybe you're here today and you say, "Pastor, I've trusted Christ as my Savior, and I know it. But I have neglected the gospel. I have neglected this great salvation. I have neglected the gift, son. Would you help me, Lord? I want to be a better witness to let people know about the greatest gift. I want to live right. I want to be holy. We're going to stand to sing in just a moment. If you need to come, please, it's Christmas. Leave with the greatest gift. And if you've got the greatest gift, leave with the purpose of sharing it. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts today. In your name we pray. Amen.